Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It's time for Ireland's only interactive podcast, the multi-award-winning Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, recorded live at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. Now, before I let you know what we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter, I want to give a huge shout out to our current show sponsors, and that is Fairy House Sunday Market, Ireland's favourite Sunday market. Established over 30 years ago, it's been a go-to for people from near and far ever since. And the reason it's so popular is because they have literally everything at Fairy House Sunday Market. It's a great day out for the whole family, to be honest with you. You can get power tools, hand tools, fishing tackle, toys and gifts, rugs, mats, clothing, shoes. The list goes on and on and on. And there's also a car boot sale section of the market for people who want to declutter their house and upcycle their old items rather than throw them out. And as I said, you can make a day of it. Fairy House features excellent toilet facilities, playground for the little ones, hot food, tea and coffee, and lots more besides. Now, recently I visited the market and spoke to a number of stall holders, including Jerry, who's from Belfast and brings his stall to Fairy House every Sunday.
For me, it's a two-hour drive, basically, to come down. It's a great market, but the thing that I like most about it, having done the markets for about 35 years, The people make it. Now, I could be at a similar market in the north, but not the crack isn't as good, the people aren't as good, and it's my own people I'm talking about too, which is worse. But no, the people, I would say, in general, are better. My stall, I mean, it's the best stall in the market, I'll have to say. Man, I'm not bluffing. We have all the spare parts for all the vacuum cleaners, any make at all. We do all lighting products, all LED stuff. Everything. Greatest stall in the market, bar none.
And indeed, I bought a head for our Henry Hoover off Jerry when I was in Fairy House a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, Fairy House Sunday Market open most Sundays throughout the year, with the exception of the odd Sunday when there's racing on, like Easter Sunday. But other than that, it's open all year round. So what do we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter? Marco has been in contact with us. And here's what Marco had to say. Have a listen to this. I was flying back from Lanzarote the other day, and there was a child of about 8 sitting on the plane on my row. And God love him, he was very stressed. He obviously has autism and was nonverbal. I know this because my nephew is the same, and my sister doesn't bring him on planes for this reason. He was very stressed for the 4 hours, making really loud shouts every minute, jumping out of his seat, punching the inside of the plane and the window. Other passengers were getting upset by it. When the trolley came around, he jumped up and tried to grab the pot. I felt so sorry for him and his parents, but why do they put him through, put him and us through 4 hours of that? A plane is obviously not good for him sensory-wise. This is exactly why my sister doesn't bring her son on a plane. She knows he'd have a meltdown. Can you please highlight this, as it's very cruel on children with autism to expect them to sit still for 4 hours with a sensory overload? And it's not fair on everyone else. Listen to the noise in the video. It was like that for 4 hours. Now, That's from a guy called Marco. Now, Marco did send us a video, and there is audio on the video, but we have chosen not to play the video at all. We're not taking any screenshots of the video. We're not doing anything with the video, to be quite
honest.
Even
though people lost their mind over this, and I can understand why they did. By the way, I have the video here in front of me. You cannot see the child because there's either two or three adults in between him and the child who is having the absolute meltdown. And as Adrian said, we're not playing the video. We're not even playing the audio from the... If you heard the audio from the video, it's quite... What's the word I'm looking for? It's quite loud.
It's a difficult listen, yeah.
It's a difficult, difficult listen. The child sounds like he is stressed to high heaven. So that's the reason we're not playing the video. We're actually having morals for once. And it doesn't serve any purpose to play the video anyway. We can explain to you what the video is. Now, the video that he sent is about 90 seconds long. And it shows the kid having an absolute melter. So I'll explain to you what he's doing. He is sitting in the aisle seat of the plane. And Marco is on the opposite side of the aisle, in the aisle seat. So he's two seats away from away from this kid. And the kid is literally... banging on the glass of, really violently banging on the glass of the window of the airplane. He's pulling the seat in front of him back. He's obviously very, very stressed in a stressful situation. And we didn't get the video of what happened with the trolley that went down, but I could imagine that was frightening as well. A similar situation happened on the plane when I came back from Fuerteventura last summer, and I'll tell you about that later on. But a woman did complain about it at the time because she was a nervous flyer, and she turned around to the father who was sitting in the row in front of us, and it didn't go down too well. Here's my take on it. I'm sorry, by the way, Marco was due to come on and talk. He was raring to come on and talk about the podcast. Saw the comments that he... that came in.
And just a half an hour before we started recording, he backed out. He won't talk to us and read his message.
Which I think is unfair.
There was a huge backlash.
Yeah.
A huge backlash.
Like it's opinions but matter.
Let's just deal with the point that he is making. And I want to, this is what I want to discuss with you. Can you please highlight that this is very cruel on children with autism to expect them to sit still for 4 hours with a sensory overload? And it's not fair on everyone else.
I think a lot of you got what Marco said. And had you have given him a second to come on and actually explain it, and now it's up to me to explain it because I've spoken to him. And again, it's just people... And Shannon saying, Marco, no balls. Well, Shannon, you wouldn't be the first person that doesn't come on. You don't come on sometimes either. Some people don't want to spend an hour of their life being berated and shouted at because they have a different opinion to you. So don't slag someone for not coming on because lots of you don't come on. But I think a lot of you got him wrong because the point he was making was, you know, it was a difficult four-hour flight for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The child has autism. We need to be more aware of that, that when a child has autism, that they have sensory issues. But his point, and he makes it quite clear in his full message, is that...
If the child is going to be stressed and unable to cope with being on an airplane...
And I know, there's family members of mine have children who are on the autism spectrum, different levels of it. I know someone who's non-verbal, and he has never been outside the country. His mum and dad holiday in Ireland because... Not because they don't want to upset people like Marco on the plane. The reason they holiday in Ireland... Sorry, they've been to England. They brought him on the boat over to England and he's been to Legoland. But the reason they do that is... because of his sensory issues, again, I don't, maybe parents of children with autism will explain this better to me, but what they have said to me in the past is because of his sensory issues, they just know that being on a plane, not even being on a plane, but the whole airport thing, if you don't have autism, airports are fucking stressful places. Queuing up, having to go through the beeping machine, all that stuff, queuing up to get on the plane, the noises of the plane, the whole thing when it's taking off really fast. If you have autism, I would imagine that can be quite overwhelming.
Okay, now what Marco is trying to say is, well, on the one hand, he's saying is he believes it's cruel to children with autism to expect them to sit there for 4 hours, but... he also said it's not fair on everyone else. Now, that's the bit that everybody has the issue with, Marco.
But it was probably stressful for everybody. The parents of the child with the autism, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The parents with the child with the autism, Marco himself, yeah? And the other passengers on the plane. It wasn't an ideal situation for anybody in this situation. But let me just put this, and I'm just playing devil's advocate, because I know autism parents get very, very annoyed when people try to tell them how to raise their children, and I would not do that for a moment. But what I'm saying is, if you are an autism parent, if you're an autism parent, you would not bring your child to a proper movie, as in a full movie, because the noise. That's why they have autism screenings for children, because of sensory issues. You wouldn't bring your child to a circus, I assume, if you know, because again, sensory overdrive complete, that they just wouldn't be comfortable with it. So that is the point he's trying to make, that if you know your child has serious, like, again, a neighbour of mine who has a non-verbal child with autism will only go to Dunn Stores to do her shopping at 9:15, 15 minutes before it closes, because it's quiet, the music has been turned off, and she can walk around with her son, yeah? And,
what are you saying then? So let's go back to Marco. Marco was saying that he thinks it's very cruel on children with autism to expect them to sit still for 4 hours on an aeroplane with a sensory overload.
I'm putting out a question, and we've loads of autism parents coming on. And my question to you guys is, would you bring your child, if they have autism, would you bring them to a circus? Or would you bring them to see Taylor Swift in the middle of Croke Park? With flashing lights, with fireworks, with people screaming.
Okay, our number is 085-825-2626 if you would like to get involved in this conversation. Marco is the guy who contacted us, and Robbie has been in touch.
Right, you said when you were reading out his message that he went to grab the pot off the trolley. No, I have no doubt the parents would 100% sue the airline if he had grabbed the pot and injured himself because of it. You know, so they really should have, you know, done more to keep them under control.
Dylan, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Dylan?
How's it going, lads? How are you?
Good, thanks, Dylan. What do you make of Marco's message?
Seems very selfish, to be honest.
You think Marco's very selfish?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
In giving out about this child? Well, is he selfish in saying that he thinks it was cruel to bring a child on a flight like that, 4 hours?
Not really, no. He obviously just doesn't know too much about it, you know. Like, for all he knows, on the way over, the child could have been grand. You never know, like, and spending a week on holidays, like, the child could have been burnt out then, you know, and then on the way back was an issue, you know. You don't know. Like, these things aren't, the same thing doesn't happen every time, you know, when you speak from experience. Like, you just don't know when these things are going to get set off, you know.
Now, you actually had an incident recently in a cinema with your child. Tell me about that.
Yeah, on Friday there, I went to see the Minecraft movie. And literally from the start of it, there was loads of teenagers clapping and screaming and like whistling. And it happened every 4 to 10 minutes. Every time they would mention the video game, like a reference, the kids were whistling and clapping and shouting and all. And there was a group behind me now, and I managed to kind of get them to stop. I went mad at them, but was happening from all corners of the cinema, so it just the cinema should have done something to stop it. But like, yeah, like, there's fair enough about going to cinema, and it can be a bit loud with the screen, but this was like, if you're at a football match and the home team scored, like,
so really,
like,
they were that noisy, and obviously your child struggled with that, did it?
Yeah, at one point he got very upset and he's shouting the screen, he's crying and you want to play and all, but I had to calm down, and then I could kind of anticipate it coming, like I could hear the clapping about to start, so it like squeezed his ears. And they just have to do that. Now, we managed to sit through it, but even when I squeezed his ears, he'd still shout and scream, but it wouldn't be like crying in hysterics as the time that he got really upset, you know?
Okay, so it's similar in the way in which your child got upset by what was going on around him. On the aeroplane, this child obviously was a similar situation, wasn't able to cope with what was going on around him on the plane. These young fellas, did you tell them to shut up?
Yeah, of course they did, yeah. I'm mad at them, I called them, dragged up little scrolls here.
And what do they say in reply?
Cool, that cheeky once or twice, but I think when they seen him crying and stuff like that, they stopped, you know.
They calmed down, right, okay.
Now they kind of picked up later on then, but I don't know what you can do, but like, see, I can bring my son to the cinema, you know, like the noise of the screen and the lights, they don't give him any issues, so I don't need to bring him to a sensory screening. This was just, like I said, it was like the home team scored at a football match, that's what they're going on, like.
Okay, right, so it's not normally an issue going to the cinema, but let me go back to this guy Marco and his message, and he is arguing that he believes it's a bit cruel to be bringing a child who's just not able for it on a 4-hour flight from Lanzarote to Ireland.
Yeah, but again, the parents, like, I know from experience, you just don't know when it's going to happen, you know what I mean? And, like, there's levels to the sensory issues as well, you know? So they don't know if the child was burnt out after being away for a week, or maybe on the flight over, the child was grand, you know? And maybe the flight home was late. He probably didn't say when it was, but it's just, these things happen, you know, and people need to be a bit more tolerant about it.
And that is the argument. That's why people are annoyed with Marco, particularly the bit, it's not fair on the child, but he goes on to say, and it's not fair on everyone else.
No, but can you not see both sides of it? Now, that cinema situation, by the way, that's an absolute disgrace. That shouldn't have happened. And cinemas need to do more about tackling that. But in this situation, and I know there's complete, like the spectrum for autism is so wide that you have children that are non-verbal, then you've children that are perfectly verbal, you've children that are able to go out and go to a bonfire on Halloween night. You've children with autism that have to be kept in their bedroom on Halloween night because it's just too much for them. And obviously, again, I wasn't on this slide, but obviously in this case, the child that Marco was sitting beside, it just became too much for him being on the plane, having to sit in a seat, in the same seat for, and like it, my kids go mad when we go on a flight as well because they're sitting on the seat. But you can placate a child that's non-autistic by putting something in front of them, but with a child that's autistic, and again you'd know better than me, when they're having a meltdown like that for 4 hours, what can you do? What could the parents have done?
No, that's what I mean. The parents, like, you can't. I know it's the best thing is just to let it pass, you know, do what you can. Like, because even talking to a child that's going through a meltdown, even processing the words for them is too much for them, you know. You just need to let them calm down.
And from what I can gather from this child on the flight, the child was non-verbal, which probably... Yeah,
according to Marco, we don't know that, but...
The
argument here is...
Non-verbal doesn't mean you can't understand when someone's talking to them.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Still process all that.
So you believe that he's extremely selfish to be giving out about the child. You don't. Do you see any argument in favour of what he's saying, that it's a little bit cruel to be taking the child on the plane in the first place?
No, just things happen on planes, you know. Like, I've been on planes before. I ever had kids and there'd be children crying and people around would be giving out, and I'd be telling them to stop because the parents are obviously stressed as well, you know. The parents, I'm sure, weren't sitting there saying, like, making excuses for him, you know. Like, I'm sure they're sitting there absolutely stressed out and mourning as well.
I'm sure they were, yeah. You know? All right, stay there for a second, Dylan. Just back to your cinema experience. Did you complain to management or anything, or did you just leave it at that?
Yeah, I did, yeah. And then they gave me free passes, but I told them it's not about that. I wasn't wanting money back or anything. I just said, like, more should be done. And I just asked him in the future if it was to happen, if I was to come out and get someone, would the people be removed? And he said, no, definitely so.
Okay, you know, well, that's something,
it's,
I suppose.
Not their fault.
All right, was the movie any good anyway? Did your son enjoy it?
Yeah, no, in hindsight, after he did, yeah, I asked him, he said it was 10 out of 10, so at least kind of he forgets about the experience, but I'm just sitting there. I couldn't tell you what it was about because I was just so annoyed, you know.
All right, good to talk to you, Dylan. Thanks very much indeed. Tanya, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Tanya?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks, Tanya. Well, what do you make of Marco's message? 4 hours on a plane from Lanzarote to Dublin, and he says it was very cruel to have the child on the plane.
I think it's disgraceful that he's even saying that. He doesn't know, like, this. Our children, I have a little boy who is autistic. He's actually multi-diagnosis, and he's also non-verbal as well, but he absolutely loved his holidays. We've brought him on holidays every single year, and if Max can't sit for long, but he's very difficult, he's challenging, but to think of, like, you know, when it comes to booking this holiday, it takes a lot of planning. We put visual schedules together. We prepare him as much as we can. We bring as much as we can on the plane. We book our seats in the front row. We organise an ambulift to bring us up to the plane. We organise a private transfer. We do a lot of planning around it. And before my holiday, I am so anxious. Not because, I think it's more because, you know, to be honest, we also actually go to our hospital. We have a doctor who gives us a prescription to see if it needs to be calmed down on the plane. And we've never had to use it, thankfully, but we're prepared. We just don't know what's going to trigger our children. My son would ask to go on a holiday every day, all day. When I say ask,
how does he cope on the aeroplane?
He does his best. He copes, like, you know, we have to... our full attention is on him. His daddy's on one side, I'm on the other side. We're up to, as I said, we plan to be on the front row. He wants to keep asking to get off the plane, but we keep reminding him we're going to the swimming pool. I show him the pictures. It's very hard to kind of, we keep reminding him where he's going, and he just be so excited because once he's on his holidays, the 2 weeks on his holidays is the happiest weeks of his whole year, and he absolutely loves it. Do I panic going on a plane? Yes, I do. Do I get anxious? Yes, I do. Do I worry if he's going to scream? Yes, I do. But not because of other people, to be honest with you, because of him, and I don't want to see him upset.
Okay, but then let me go back to the point that Marco made in his message. He said, could you please highlight this, as I think it is very cruel on children with autism to expect them to sit still for 4 hours with a sensory overload. He believes that these parents did the wrong thing by bringing this child on a 4-hour flight.
And they're not blaming, because a lot of people are thinking that Marco is blaming the child.
Well, how does he know that when that child arrives over in Lanzarote, whether that child is at home in their house or in the car or on the street, something could trigger them and they could have a sensory overload and get upset. Okay?
I know, but the difference is if you're in the middle aisle of Tesco's, and I've seen this as well, and by the way, people need to be more aware when they're in a public place that if a child... I can tell the difference, and I don't have a child with autism, I can tell the difference between a meltdown that one of my kids has because they're not getting sweets and a meltdown that a child with autism. And people staring at children with autism having meltdowns.
Yeah, it's dreadful.
Use your bloody cup on. The child has autism. But what I'm saying is...
I know those people.
I know, but
people
can stare
they're
dickheads.
Like,
they're dickheads. But if that happens in the middle of Tesco, with the greatest respect, you can bring your child out to the car and calm them down. But on a plane, on a metal tube... At 40,000 feet.
I can't bring him out. No, actually, I can't. If my son has a meltdown in the middle of Tesco, I can't remove him at that moment in time because he needs to just get through his meltdown. And, like, I can't. My child is taller than me now. He's bigger than me. He's 11 years of age, but he looks like he's about 15, you know? And actually, wherever we are, if he's having a meltdown, I have to deal with him in that moment in time, give him his deep pressure, give him his hugs, and he calms down and he relaxes, and then we move on.
Let me ask you the question as an autism parent. Why do you think that child on Marco's flight had a meltdown for 4 hours? Would that be common with a child with autism? A 4-hour...
Now, every child is different.
But I'm saying...
Every child is different.
The fact that by the mere fact that for 4 hours that child was very, very uncomfortable and upset. It's very upsetting to even see the video that we saw.
It is, and can you imagine how upset it is for the parents?
And by the way, I'm not upset on behalf of Marco or the other passengers on the plane. I'm upset on behalf of that child.
And the child's parents.
He was so distressed for 4 hours, and I'm wondering why a parent would put their child through 4 hours.
How did that parent know that child... So my son, as I said, is 11. He's gone every single year, and he's never had one of them meltdowns. So I'm lucky. But that doesn't mean the next plane he goes on that he won't have a meltdown. So even though he has never had a meltdown, and I just reassure him, you're going to swimming pool, I show him the pictures, I show him the hotel, I show him the beach, I'm reassuring him after the flight, but that does not necessarily mean that there could be a baby behind him or a neurotypical child behind him that's screaming and excited and loud. That's going to trigger him off. You know, so I don't know what other passengers are going to be on that plane, but all I have to do is prepare myself and deal with it, because our children can be triggered at any point of the day, no matter where they are. We can't just hold them away. Like you said something about you wouldn't bring your child to a circus. Why wouldn't I bring him to a circus? I brought him to a circus. He's loved it. He sat for half an hour. He had enough and I left, but he still got to experience it. I'm going to give my child the same opportunity and I won't push him too far. If he doesn't like it, I'll leave straight away, but I'll give him a go. I'll let him try it.
Now, this guy Marco claims,
like anybody else.
This guy Marco claims that his sister doesn't take her autistic child on holidays for the very reason that he wouldn't be able to cope with the flight. You're saying that...
Okay, that's his sister's opinion. That's her sister's child. Maybe her son, maybe he won't be able to, but my son can. But I could be that child that's having a meltdown the next time I'm on a flight, and there could be someone like Marco saying, that's cruel bringing my son on a flight. It's not cruel. My son has travelled loads of times. He loves going on his holidays. Does he find the plane hard? Yeah, he does, but we bring all his spinny toys, we bring his sweets, we entertain him through the flight. We do as much as we can to make that flight as easy as possible for him. But there could be one day when he's on that plane that he will be triggered and he will have a meltdown. But we'll get through it as a family. We'll push through it because we know when he arrives in that holiday that he's going to have the time of his life, and that's exactly what he wants. Now, as I said, he asks to go on a holiday. He shows me the airplane and he has a device, a communication device, And on his, he said, I want to go on the airplane. I want to go on a holiday. You know, there's an Avonmore milk carton. There's a little picture of a plane on that. He'll point to that plane. When we look on the telly or the TUI picture comes up, he'll point to TUI. He knows exactly what his holiday is. He also knows that the plane is difficult for him, but he wants to do it. He asks to go. So I'm going to bring my son on a holiday.
Well, no,
and
it's
Marco behind me.
You have every right, by the way. Yeah. No, you know, nobody should be...
I sure do.
You know, you...
Okay, but so you've no sympathy at all for the point that Marco was making in his message that he thinks it is cruel on this particular child.
I think cruel is a hard word to use. I think it's upsetting for someone to see a child upset. Yes, I do understand that. If I see another child that autism are not struggling or crying, yes, of course we feel for that child, but it's not cruel on the parents to bring them.
No,
that parent is trying to give that child the same opportunity that any other child has.
No, but again,
there's a child that has low autism that could be crying on the plane because their ears have popped. Is that cruel?
No.
Did you know their ears were going to pop?
No, but again,
did you know they were going to be upset?
Again, if I talk about one of my neighbours who doesn't bring her daughter out, her daughter has never been out on Halloween night, and the reason her daughter would love to trick or treat, she sees all the other kids trick or treating looking through the window, but the reason she won't bring her daughter out to trick or treat because she says, in her words, that she wouldn't put her daughter through the overload of going around knocking on different doors.
Fireworks going off.
She just wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it.
Every parent is different. Every child is different. And a parent knows their child. And a parent knows what their child would like, what they can handle, what they can't handle. That parent that was on that plane probably thought that that child could handle that flight.
Yeah.
Not, as I said, every child is different.
But remember,
she took a chance,
but remember,
took an opportunity.
This was the flight back, though, remember. Now, I don't know what they could have done. They obviously...
Yeah, so you're probably okay on the way over, though.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
And actually, in my experience, I have a lot of friends who have children with autism, and one of my friends in particular, who's actually listening right now, she has travelled every year since her some of the baby as well. We've been on holidays with them. The two kids on have been on the plane the same time, and they've been amazing. Okay. And there was one particular flight there, you know, the flight was descending and was landing, and he got an awful fright. He had a major meltdown, and his mother is terrified to go on a plane again. He is now learning to communicate, to spell, and he is asking to go on the plane again, and his mom is still nervous and hasn't brought him on a plane since, but now he's asking to go on the plane again. Do you think she should bring him on the plane and take a chance, or do you think he should just avoid it because he had a meltdown on the plane?
Well, make sure Marco's not on the flight, that's what I'd say. No, but all joking aside, I don't know because I'm not in that situation. It would kill me for my child to be that distressed. And it's not I'm not using the word upset, I'm using the word distressed, because I've seen the video that Marco recorded, and the child is distressed. And that is just... I don't know what...
Do you think the parent would have brought that child on the plane if she hadn't known that her child was going to be that upset?
No, possibly not. No, absolutely.
And she had to deal with that situation there and then. And this can happen all the time. And the thing is, we don't know when our children are going to have a meltdown, get upset. But we try and we have to deal with the situations as they come. Otherwise, we'd be in our houses, locked away, not trying anything. And that's the thing. And you say about Halloween, I was that parent that said, oh no, I can't bring him out. I can't bring him out to Halloween. The fireworks, the noise, way too much for him. And then we did, there was a year we thought maybe he might actually be able for this. We brought him out. Turns out he absolutely loves the fireworks. He stims, he looks at the fireworks, he's stimming with his hands, he's so excited, and he loves it, but yet he hates noise. So in my experience, I kept it, his little sister was going trick-or-treat with me every year. His daddy was at home with himself every year, and then we just tried to chance it last year, and it turns out we absolutely loved it.
Very good.
So,
all right.
We didn't try that with him. And I was nervous about that because I didn't want to be stuck out and him getting upset, children looking at him, parents looking at him. You know, it happens a lot.
But he did enjoy it in the end, which is the important thing. Stay there for one second if you can, please. I want to bring in, Trev, I'll be with you in one second. I want to bring in Sarah.
Hey, guys, Sarah here. On regards to the topic, with my son Killian now, when he was younger, 3, I think we took him to Greece. And he did great on that flight, no problems. Just had plenty to occupy him. And then when he was about 5, 6, I brought him to Spain and he was really good. But I also went to my doctor and had a sedative at hand that, you know, if he did start having a meltdown or, you know, not enjoying it, that he had something there that would calm him. But to be honest, now, as he got into puberty, we haven't really gone on holidays. And, you know, you have to really be realistic about their limitations and what stresses them out and what doesn't. So I'm lucky that Killian's great in social situations, but then again, I know his limits. Like, he'll do an hour at Halloween, then he wants to go sit inside somewhere. You know, Paddy's Day, he came and sat in the pub, but we found a quiet corner that was perfect for him, and he just loved life.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon, a podcast from Ireland with a difference.
You put some money in your pocket, you come on down to Fairy House. If you want a bargain, it's a place to be. There's plenty of parking, it's too easy, you'll see.
Fairy House Sunday Market, open every week.
Trev, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Trev?
Not too bad, and yourself, lad?
Good, not a bother, thank you. What did you want to say on this?
Right, being honest, first of all, that lad Marco deserves an absolute slap for fucking taking a video of this poor child having a breakdown. That's what it is, a meltdown.
I agree, which is why we have not done anything with the video. We're not playing any audio from it. We're not doing anything with it. We're not...
But that's the thing, like, what gives him the fucking right? Now, bear in mind, this country's in uproar at the minute. Kids, there's autistic kids that actually can't get into school. Mm-hmm. And there's people like Marco saying, oh, don't be bringing them on holidays either.
His point was he believes it is cruel on this particular child to have that child on an airplane because the child just wasn't able to cope.
But that's the thing. Who is he to say that?
Well, four hours of the child having a meltdown.
Yeah, well, it's to be expected with autistic kids. You get me? Anyone that has learning difficulties or anything, like, they don't understand as well as we do, you get me? But the fact that he thinks he has the right to say that their parents are being cruel for what? Giving them a chance, giving them an opportunity to explore the world? That's fucking sick.
The point was more he believes that it was cruel from the point of view that this child just wasn't able for the situation. And when you're on an aeroplane, you can't just get off the aeroplane.
I do understand that. If he had said, look, about the meltdown, and that maybe the parents should have been more prepared or something, rather than sit there, take a fucking video of it, and then fucking come to you guys to complain about it. Like, that's the bit that's getting to me now. It's the fact that he actually stood there and fucking recorded the whole thing. Like, what kind of sicko does that?
Well, Marco, and it's for that very reason, Trev, that we are doing nothing with the video, okay?
We appreciate that, lads. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that.
We were sent the video. We could play the audio if we wanted, but we're not. We're not doing anything with the video at all. But again, to go back to the point, Trev, and this is what he's trying to argue in his message, that he found it very stressful for the child to be going through that for 4 hours.
Right, that I do understand, but at the end of the day, we should be allowing them to have the same opportunities as other kids. Like, going back to school now in September and all, you're going to have every other kid talking about they're going on holidays and all. And for him to say that fucking, to say that it was torture for them, like, those parents are probably trying to open the little lad up to a new world, you get me? They're trying to give him that chance.
I know, but Trev, I don't think Marco said, I'm looking over his message again, he didn't at any point say that children with autism shouldn't be brought on holidays, because that's ridiculous.
No, he didn't say that.
But there was one
specific child that he was saying that.
No, but there are other ways. People that are people who are scared of flying still go on holidays. They just go by boat or whatever, or they go by road or whatever. So nobody's saying that this child should be, you know, never brought on holidays, but there are other ways to do that. And if it turns out that this isn't an isolated incident and that child just cannot be on a plane, you wouldn't want to put your child through that. No parent, even all the autism mums who've been on the show so far.
That's the thing. It is down to the parents.
Yeah.
It's down to the parents to make that judgment. But turning around, like, every child deserves an equal opportunity. We're already having it that fucking hundreds of autistic kids cannot get a place in school.
Which is disgraceful, and it's something that we have we have highlighted on many occasions on this podcast. Okay, so basically your message to Marco is mind your own business.
Mind your own fucking business and stop telling other people how to fucking look after their kids. And stop filming other people's kids as well. Like, I'll be honest with you, I'm not one for violence, but after hearing he was recording that little kid and all, I'd love to hear him a fucking slap. And sorry for the French, but it's got me really pissed.
Well, no, it's because of the reaction that he decided not to come on the podcast today because he knew he was going to be... he would have been ripped apart.
I think he should have been ripped apart for what he done. He wouldn't like someone fucking videoing his child if his child had autism and was having a breakdown.
I know, but Trev,
what gives him the fucking right?
Nothing. It's a scummy thing to do, but unfortunately, that's the way the world is now. If you, on a separate issue, if you were walking down the street and you were mugged on the side of the road this evening, chances are someone would video it and put it up online as you were being mugged rather than help you. That's just the way it is.
I'll be honest with you. I'm an epileptic. There's been times I've taken epileptic seizures in town and people have videoed me.
Yeah, that's
the thing. Here in Ireland, back in the day, we used to look after one another. We used to be there and help each other out. There's none of that anymore.
Trev, good to talk to you. Thanks very much indeed. Let me bring in more of your opinions on this. Our number is 0858252626. Elizabeth, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Elizabeth?
Hey, how you been?
Now, Elizabeth, what did you want to say on this?
I personally have a nonverbal autistic child. She'll be 5 at the end of the month, and she's been flying since 18 months old, and we do 7-hour flights. 7 hours, because it takes just that long to get back to even Chicago, almost. And I have found that I have to have grace with not just my child, but myself, because there's a lot of parent guilt with any child, neurodivergent or not neurodivergent. You worry about your child kicking off. You will. You're going to have this internal, like, especially mom guilt, what you call it, mom guilt. And you're gonna sit there, and every noise that your child makes, you're going to be looking around in case someone's going to say something or give you a dirty look or kid being a kid, 18 months old. You know, you worry, you know, even infants, they worry. But I've actually gotten to the point now that I bring extra stuff. I bring extra stuff in her bag. So if there's another kid that needs something, like I've got extra snacks, extra toys, extra games, books, coloring paper, crayons, extra everything so that I can say, I've even held somebody else's child and walked them up and down the aisle before.
But Elizabeth, looking from, you see, when you are an autism parent, you see things differently to the rest of us who don't know what that life is like. So can you understand for one moment, now, he's an arsehole. Marco's an arsehole. He shouldn't have videoed this. That is a scummy thing to do. But can you not understand from an outsider's point of view, and I said, we've looked at the video, can you not understand where he was coming from when he thought that it was cruel to put a child through that for 4 hours? Now, fair enough, your daughter, in fact, you've sent us a photograph of your daughter on the plane there, and she looks absolutely happy as Larry. She's sitting there with her pad and stuff like that, and she has the earphones on.
Noise canceling earphones. I have candy so that her ears pop. You know, not candy, but like chewy things so that her ears don't pop badly.
The point I'm trying to make, though, is, and it wasn't just Marco that said it. He said there was tuts around the vicinity of the plane with people going, why? Can you understand, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, so don't jump down my throat. Can you understand how people looking at it from the outside would go, my God, that is terrible.
To put.
That's all he was saying, really.
No, absolutely. I can actually put myself, before I had children, now I only have, I have a 19-year-old stepdaughter and a 5-year-old. So before 5 years ago, I was childless, right? And believe me, there is nothing worse than being 4 feet or less away from some ear-piercing screech that is not your child. And it does grate your nerves, and it can get a bit much. But I think that some people have forgotten that you have to give grace to parents sometimes. You have to give grace to kids sometimes. Giving grace is like one of the best things you can do.
Okay, but his point was, Elizabeth, that he believes that it was cruel on the child himself to be in that situation, and in a situation that you can't get out of. On an airplane, you can't just get out of it.
Cruel. I think cruel is a bit much of a word, because what if that was literally their first flight and they didn't know that's how they were going to react?
Well, the problem, it probably wasn't the first flight because it was a flight home from Lanzarote, so they obviously...
Yeah, but they weren't going to... But how else could they go home from Lanzarote?
Yeah, but that's true, I suppose.
Yeah, but how else? Yeah. I mean, they had, once they got there, what are they going to do? Freaking swim?
I know, but if you... Like, I'm not comparing the two situations, but I'm just saying, supposing we were on holidays, Elizabeth, and you saw me in a water park with my child who was terrified of heights, and you saw me going up this really high slide, and my child was screaming, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm scared of flying. I'm afraid of heights. Please don't bring me up. No, you're coming up on this. You're coming up on this." I would be judged to high heavens. Why? Because I'd put my child in a situation where they weren't comfortable. And
however, you can go back down the stairs.
That's the point, though. That's the point. They couldn't get off. They couldn't get off that plane.
Yeah, they have no choice.
Okay.
If you had a choice.
Yeah,
if I had a choice, I would not put my child through that. Yeah, if I know my daughter doesn't the water. My daughter's actually deathly afraid of water, right? If I put her in the pool right now, she would be screaming like I literally put her in acid. She cannot stand
and
pool.
And if that was witnessed by someone, they'd video it and say that you were a cruel mother for pushing your child through that. How dare she put her child in water when the child is terrified of water? And as I said at the start of this podcast, I don't know how any child on the autism spectrum can deal with an airport, because I'm not autistic and I find the airports very
stressful. Yeah,
very
they can be.
Overwhelming.
They are. They're stressful for the non-neurodivergent.
Yeah, absolutely.
For anyone else that doesn't have any kind of sensory issues or God forbid, I have issues with crowds. I do. But I just have to literally just buckle it down and button it up and just deal with it, because I'm an adult. But if I didn't have that filter, I would have a nervous breakdown if I wasn't able to cope. And if I was a child, I wouldn't be able to cope. They don't have coping skills like we do. We have years and decades of experience of coping with shit that we don't like. But they don't.
Okay, so, your message Elizabeth, for Marco, who wouldn't come on the podcast in the end, but we know he's listening. What's your message to him?
I would say, sir, next time, please don't take pictures of other people's children having a distressful moment, because that is literally the worst time of their life, and their parents might see that. And that is not what you should do as a decent human being.
Okay, I just needed to clarify one thing. And in fact, Marco sent us a message a moment ago after Trev was on. Yes, he did film a video on the aeroplane, but you can't actually see the child in it. You can hear the child very clearly, but you can't actually see the child in it. And Trev, that was really for you, because you were saying earlier on it was disgraceful him videoing a child. You can't actually see the child in the video. That's neither here nor there.
Okay, but wait, how many viral videos have you seen in airports and places like that where people have actually gone, wait, I was in that airport at that time. Hey, wasn't my sister flying at that time? Or my cousin was flying that. Ireland is a very freaking small place. Everyone knows people in every place. Oh, my aunt just got back and she's got an autistic child. She flew back from Lanzarote. Hey, is this you? Wouldn't that mortify you? Wouldn't that make you feel absolutely like dog shit of a parent? Mm. They're basically telling you you're a shite parent because you're trying to take a vacation with your child and you didn't know, or your child didn't go for it. Maybe the child was fine on the way there and something happened.
On the way back.
Something happened to set it off. It could be literally like they didn't get enough sleep. It was too early of a flight. Or they, you know, something happened. You know, that could be anything. My daughter's gold 99% of the time. She's a golden child on flight, but we like fell out of the sky. So we did a free fall. Like, it was very bad turbulence and she was jerked up out of her seat. Thank goodness I keep a seatbelt on her. But yeah, she, for about 5 minutes, she was very distressed. She didn't like yell or scream or anything, but I had to hold her and I she was not happy. She was whimpering a little. Mm. And I mean, you have to cuddle them a little. But I mean, honestly, if she would have had that bad of a moment, I would have just apologized. Okay, I would have bought people drinks. I would have done something.
Okay, let me read a message. Marco has just sent another message in. So this is the guy who contacted us in the first place, and he says, mm-hmm. I'm glad I didn't come on the podcast now. Your listeners are even more judgmental than they're accusing me of being. The only thing I will say is I was wrong to video. I've deleted it now. I was concerned about the child. That's all. all. I'm not a bad person. Your listeners are psychotic, says Marco.
You know what? You know what? He may not be a bad person. He may have just had a moment of, oh my God, look at this. This was horrible for me. And that's fine. I mean, everybody has moments where they might have done something that might have been a little off color. I don't know. But, however, at least now he knows that, hey, maybe this was in bad taste.
He accepts that doing the video was the wrong thing to do. Let me bring in Robbie.
Because you said you've seen the video that Margot sent in to you. I'm just curious, what was the parents of the kid doing at the time?
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter. With Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
You put some money in your pocket, you come on down to Fairy House. If you want a bargain, it's the place to be. There's plenty of parking, it's real easy, you'll see.
Fairy House Sunday Market, open every week.
Just referring back to Robbie's message.
I'm looking at the video now.
You can't really see anybody. Because the camera's not pointed at the child or the family. All you can hear is the child.
Well, you can see if you look at the parents sitting in the outside aisle seat is just sitting there. I assume they, as autism parents, know how to deal with this. Probably the worst thing you can do with a child with autism when they're having a meltdown like that is to try and placate them or try and hold them down or something like that. I'm sure that actually makes them. Listen, he's after apologising for video of the thing. Jesus, lads. I will say to all of you who are calling for the man to be, like, there's calling for him to be investigated and arrested and all this stuff. So calm, everybody calm down, okay? Because you've all done stuff, maybe not like that, but you've all done stuff on the spur of the moment, okay?
Okay, and he does say, the only thing I will say is I was wrong to video. I've deleted it now.
Yeah.
And we will delete it out of our WhatsApp thread as soon as this conversation is
No, here, I'll do it now. Sorry, I'll do it now. Okay. Just wait for 1 second and listen. Hang on. It's gone.
Okay, so it's gone out of that WhatsApp thread. Okay, very good.
But just everybody needs to calm down, looking for the man to be hung, drawn, and quartered. Like, calm down.
Tracy, you're on Opinions Matter. Hiya, Tracy.
Hiya, lads.
Well, Tracy, what did you want to say on this?
I'm horrified. I know you said he apologised for the video and all, but look, it's too little too late. Like, you know, he wrote into the podcast and he had a neck like a jockey's bollocks then to think that because of people were complaining on the comments. We all have our opinions. He has our opinion. We have our opinions. But he couldn't even come on just to face people, like. And now he's trying to justify what he's done.
In his message a couple of minutes ago, he says, I'm glad I didn't come on because your listeners are even more judgmental than they're accusing me of being.
I'm shocked at two things. I'm not shocked that he complained about it because their ignorance is just out there. Like, I know that I'm a mother with a child with severe autism, so I know what everyday life can be like. I know what it's like to be stared on the street. And it's a horrible feeling. So I know all that. But it's the fact that he has a nephew with autism, like, there's no compassion there. No compassion at all, like. And what would work with his sister may not work for anybody else.
Because he did say that his sister doesn't take her child on an airplane.
That's fair enough. Yeah, like the other, I don't know, one of the callers, I can't remember her name, and she was explaining about how doing the visuals, and that's what I would have to do for my daughter. But I could do all that for like month, 2 months. But then on the day when it happens, you know, she could have a meltdown, something could stress her. You can't help that. That's just what's going to happen.
But his argument was his belief that putting a child through that, putting a child through something that they're just not comfortable with, that's the bit he thinks was cruel.
Yeah, but there's a lot of unknowns here, but we don't know what the child was like on the flight going over. We don't know how the child was on the holiday. The child could have been screaming because the child could have realised that he's going home and he didn't want to go home.
Yep, quite possibly.
We're not thinking of that side. It could have been anything. It could have been a certain smell. It could have been a touch. It could have been the noise before the plane took off. We don't know.
But if these parents, there's a possibility that they will hear this podcast. If these parents are listening, do you think it would be wise for, I know, by the way, I'm not telling them what they should or shouldn't do. It's not my place. But do you think, given the fact that the child was distressed for 4 full hours, do you think it would be wise for them to go to the Canaries again with him on the plane?
I would do it again, yeah.
Really? Even knowing that he was that distressed?
Yeah, but you don't know. Like, you don't know what triggered that child. Like, the child's non-verbal. My daughter's non-verbal, so it's a big guessing game with us all the time. My daughter's been to Lanzarote 4 times. Now, she hasn't been since 2021, and that was a case of, right, this is going to be, it's a hit or miss. this might be the last time you bring her on holiday, because she was getting older, she was getting more challenging. So, but I'm actually going to Euro Disney with her in June, and I don't know how she's going to be. But I'm just bringing her because, and I mean, I'm going Euro to see
Disney,
like.
Euro Disney, and she deserves to go to Euro Disney. But Euro
absolutely,
Euro Disney's a sensory overload. I mean, that's what Disney's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. But she loves all like shows and stuff like that. You know, I brought her to cinema, and it wasn't the noise of the cinema or anything like that. She just wasn't interested in the film, so she ran around. So I let her run around because I'm not going to lock her away. She deserves to be normalised like any other child. I brought her to zoo. She didn't like the zoo, so I won't go to zoo again. But I'll never give up, and I'll never stop bringing that place because ignorant people.
Again, if this child, we don't know, as we said, on the flight over to Lanzarote what the child was like, but if it was the case that that child was very stressed on both flights, would you be saying to those parents...
I probably would maybe rethink it, maybe give it a couple of years and maybe leave it for now, because that's what I done on my last holiday. It wasn't even the fly for her. It was just the overwhelming on the holiday. She didn't settle great after about 3 or 4 days. So I thought, right, I don't think we were bringing her back here for a while. Okay, and I didn't.
Is that not all, and I know we don't know what the child was like on the first flight, but isn't that all Marco was really saying?
No, he's not. Maybe he's wording it wrong. It's not what he's saying. I think it's the way he's saying it. And I think the fact that he actually videoed the child, and I know he didn't video the child's face, and he's trying to justify that, thinking that's right, but he actually videoed the child screaming.
But now I'm telling you now, and I'm not defending Marco because he's a bit of an arsehole, but having seen the video, you cannot. It was the audio, really. In fact, the cameras, for 90% of the time, the camera is faced at the back. Actually, the only thing you can see on the camera is the safety thing at the back of the seat of the plane, and then you can see the overhead compartments. You can't even see, and then at one stage the camera goes over and you can see the mother and the father, but from a blurry distance, so the child can't be identified.
But
that's not me justifying. He
had asked us to play the audio from the video. It was the audio really is what he wanted to get out there. Now, as you've heard, we have chosen not to do that, and we've now actually
deleted
the video. We were never going to do that, to be honest.
Adrian wanted to do it, and I said, Adrian, get some morals.
I didn't. I never said that. All right, Tracy, thanks very much indeed for talking to us. And Marco, thank you for bringing the issue up, because as you've heard, there are some parents that will make the effort or won't put their child through a long flight if their child isn't able for it. Let me bring in one final WhatsApp voice note from Angry Jess.
Marco, I fucking hate you. Calling him psychotic and judgmental because we're standing up for the child that he's complaining about, that he took not a video of, but was more or less recording the sound of while they were having a meltdown. And he's calling us judgmental and psychotic. Look in the fucking mirror, pal. You're a grown-ass man. You're able to control the situation for yourself. Put in headphones, put in earbuds, watch a film, listen to a podcast, block out whatever's annoying you. But you have such fucking neck to come onto a podcast and give out about it, and then to call, just start texting and saying, like, oh, your listeners are psychotic, judgmental. You knew you didn't come on because you knew you were going to get your ass handed on a plate, and rightfully fucking so, because you're an ignoramus of the highest fucking order. Kids on the spectrum deserve a holiday just as much as you, pal. What are they going to do? Go on a different flight to you? Fuck off and grow up, you absolute fool of a man.
Now, there you are, Marco. That just wraps that up.
But Marco never said that. People are going to listen to this podcast and go, there was
What everybody has said is Marco needs to be a bit more understanding
If I was on a flight beside Angry Jess, I'd be looking for the parachute. Can you imagine Jess getting angry?
No, I can't.
Jess, can you please send me a WhatsApp of all the flights you're going on the next year, just so we don't clash, because I'd be terrified bumping into her on a plane.
Thank you for listening to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy. Before we go, we want to invite you to join us on our WhatsApp channel. Jeremy, what do you do if you want to be on our WhatsApp channel?
That's a very good question, Adrian, and I'm glad you asked the question. And I have the answer right now for you, as I think. You send the word add me to 085-825-2626. You didn't think I'd get that, did
you? That's it. And we'll send you a link straight back for our WhatsApp channel where we keep in touch with you about everything going on in the podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.